Welcome to On Human, On Human Relations podcast number 2. This is a sociological view of our relations with non-human animals. My name is Roger Yates. Today I'm going to look mainly at 2 issues, and both really through the lens provided by David Nybert in his book Animal Rights, Human Rights. In particular, I want to look at the sociological view of the notion of speciesism, and then I want to address the ongoing dispute between Gary Francione and Steve Best. And I look at that dispute from a position which doesn't fully support either of the two. I come down on the Francione side, as I'll explain a little later, and certainly not on Steve Best's side, a position that I find extremely naive tactically. Again, as I'll explain. But the first job is to look at the sociological analysis of human-non-human relations. So, turning to Nybert then, and his 2002 book, Animal Rights, Human Rights, with the subtitle, Entanglements of Oppression and Liberation. Now, Nybert is critical of animal advocates who minimize, he says, or overlook even the social structural basis of the oppression of animals. The people he pulls out to criticize in this are Peter Singer, also Tom Regan, Marjorie Spiegel, who wrote The Dreaded Comparison, and also Kim Stallwood, used to work for the BUAV, Peter, and then was the editor of Animals Agenda. Well, I'm not entirely convinced that Nybert is fair to all of these people that he mentions, particularly perhaps to Spiegel in The Dreaded Comparison. For example, even in the extracts that he pulls out to support his position, he seems to contradict himself to some degree. For example, he picks out this section, which I'll read. If we are to succeed in stemming our destructiveness and learning to once again live sustainable and harmoniously with the earth and all its inhabitants, it is the urge to commit violence that must be addressed, both on a societal level and perhaps most importantly in ourselves as individuals. Ultimately, the true battle against oppression will be waged within each of us, because that's where violence begins. And that is also the only place where violence with enough work can finally, everlastingly, be brought to an end. So that's what Spiegel says. Now, Nybert is saying that she's downplaying the structural side of it, the societal level point. But in actual fact, she seems to be kind of blending the two together. But the point that Nybert is making here is that there is a tendency within animal advocacy in general to do this downplaying in relation to speciesism, in terms of what it is and what causes it. In other words, he says that Ryder, Regan, Singer in particular, use speciesism as though it's a prejudice, whereas the sociological view is to see it in a wider sense than that. Sociology is much more focused on the analysis of social structures, social forces, rather than on individual action, although there are some perspectives which start with individual action and then expand out, if you like, to the social. So in terms of speciesism then, a sociologist would look at that as an ideology, not as an individually held prejudice. Now obviously this comes back to one of the things that I mentioned in my first podcast about sociological dualisms, the notion of society versus individual, or agency and structure. Clearly, we are social agents, and that means that we create the structure. At the same time, the structure shapes the individual. And what's really meant by this ideological point is that we are born into already existing social structures. Within those, there is an already existing set of beliefs, attitudes, norms, and values. And effectively, what happens is that we socialize our children on a generational basis into these widely held beliefs. It seems clear to me then that by understanding this sociological dualism of structure and agency, we can see how it feeds into the dispute between Gary Francione and Steve Best, the caricature of which is that Francione adopts a one plate at a time approach, which is a very crude way of looking at the position, and that Steve Best is calling for a war and a revolution, which requires the destruction or dismantlement of capitalism, the capitalist mode of production. Now, presumably, in its place will stand a communist or a socialist one in Best's vision. Going back to Nybert, as I said, he's critical of Singer, Reagan et al. For this ignoring, downplaying of the structural side of things. But he actually praises Guerra Francione's perspective, which he calls incremental abolitionism, saying that this is similar to André Gorz's position, which is another sociological position, which is based on the use of non-reformist reforms, and also Michael Harrington's position, which is based on visionary gradualism. So the position of these people is that anti-capitalism action is in itself pretty good, but non-reformist reforms can be gotten within the capitalist structure. Let me just read you a couple of sections from Nybert, from page 253. He says, first, the opportunities and possibilities within the capitalist system must be used to transcend it. Now, the one person who would agree with that is Guerra Francione, who is being criticised at the moment for supporting capitalism, which is far from the case. In fact, if we go back right way back until 1996, I have in front of me now an animal rights commentary written by Guerra Francione. Thursday, March the 14th, 1996, Animal Rights and the Left, in which a critique of capitalism is contained. In fact, Francione's work on that started in 1993, something that Nybert points out. And without making too much of a point of this, you know, it should be pointed out that Steve Best wasn't even involved in animal advocacy in the 1990s. The second point that Nybert makes in terms of what can be done within the capitalist system, he says technology must be transformed to create tools that further freedom and quality of life instead of instruments for profit accumulation and social control. Now, Guerra Francione has been one of the main people who talks about the use of the internet and about how, for one thing, the internet has made it possible now for abolitionists to be vocal and to be heard throughout the world, something that the new welfarists are not too keen on, as we know. But also this technology can be used for this purpose, which Nybert points out. He says, as a third matter, the goal is to create a social system in which the social positions that humans occupy neither compel violence nor encourage passive complicity in oppressive practices and arrangements. Guerra Francione would agree with that. Fourthly, Nybert says, we must create a system in which oppression is not naturalised and rationalised, but is visible and thus can be seen and remedied. Again, what is vegan education if it doesn't fit all of that? Vegan education is not complicit with existing arrangements. Vegan education is critical of them and works to change them. My own belief on this is that vegan education is not the only thing that we're going to need, and I've always accepted that there's going to be some element of force eventually, but first we need widespread cultural change, and that does require vegan education. The problem in Best's position, as far as I can see, is that Steve Best is not good at differentiating from what he wants to what is feasible. He wants a mass movement of people willing to take direct and now seemingly violent action for non-human animals. He wants lots of warriors to fight this war. But we've got to be reflexive about this. We've got to ask ourselves critical questions. We've got to ask, is all of that feasible at this present time? It might be desirable for some, but is it feasible in any event? Most of the people that Steve Best admires are now in prison. They're doing lengthy prison spells. The capitalist state has responded to what they did. He's looking for a new generation, a new set of people willing to be shut away for a decade of their lives. He's like a general crying out for new troops because the old ones have died. When interviewed by Anthony Marr, Steve Best said that we've got to cross the Rubicon. We've got to walk through the helicopter blades. He doesn't really mean we, he means you. He says he's like Marx, he's the theorist. You know, you are the activist. So he's not the one who's going to pay the price. Steve Best is never going to end up in prison on this. He's got another book to write. You know, we've got to put this into perspective in terms of, you know, what we're dealing with here. Now, the timescale that both Ma and Best are working on is between 2 to 3 years to save the entire planet. This cannot be done. This cannot be done with one plate at a time. Yes, that is true. But then when Ma asked Best, well, what's the alternative? He goes, oh my God. And then he says, we've got to realize what capitalism is, as though we don't. He says, we've got to think about it. We need to be anti-capitalists, as though we're not. We've got to build a movement for democracy. We've got to work on a local level. We've got to look at neighborhood associations. We've got to look at community groups. We've got to look toward the left. Now, again, nobody would argue with any of that, but that's going to take more than 2 or 3 years. And anyway, as Steve Best points out himself, and as David Nybert points out, and as Gary Francione has pointed out in his writings, the left are just as specious as any other group. Nybert himself points that out. He's got a long section called The Left and the Liberation of Other Animals, where he talks about how the left claim that the animal rights effort is trivializing other liberation movements. It's a bizarre exaggeration. It's based on misplaced priorities. So if we really are working to 2 and 3 years as a time frame, then we're screwed. It's not going to work. It's just too short of a time to make any of the kind of changes, the ones that Gary Francione wants or the ones that Steve Best wants. Best tells Anthony Marr that it's crucial for us to engage in a boycott while we're making these neighborhood alliances. But what is vegan education if it's not a boycott? Veganism itself is probably the best boycott we can do. It's 24/7. The best thing about a vegan campaign is it's a mega campaign. We're campaigning against everything all at once. Vegans don't go to the circus. They don't wear fur coats. They don't eat meat. They don't drink dairy. They're doing everything all at once just by being vegan. There is nothing at this present time that's more important than creating larger numbers of ethical vegans. And in fact, a growth in ethical vegans might just bring about these non-reformist reforms that we've spoken about, which might in the end transform and transcend capitalism. In the sense that vegans ask for more. One of the reasons why we need a large group of ethical vegans is that there are problems within veganism itself. Veganism is not a cruelty-free diet. In that sense, it creates animal harm to create crops at the present time. More ethical vegans are needed in order to make those production changes. At the moment, it's speciesists who are driving the combine harvesters. It's speciesists in charge of the plant-producing industries around the world. And so what we need is a transformation of these things. And an ethical vegan is presumably going to be focused on vegan principles and not based on things like capitalist profit. And so, in a sense, a growth in veganism might be a challenge to capitalism anyway. Now, turning to areas of disagreement I have with Gary Francione, it would be on the level of certain limited types of direct action, Open Rescue and the ALF's direct rescue of non-humans from places of use. I'm sure that Gary would probably find this objectionable and probably think that these activities are violent. I tend to support them, and in fact I can see how they can be part and parcel of a vegan education attempt, especially in certain parts of the world where knowledge of animal use is not good. It's not complete, and often activists find themselves relying on pictures and images from elsewhere, or dated images, and so it's in that circumstance that I feel that Open Rescue in particular would be quite useful. So that, I suppose, registers something of a change in myself. For example, I've always been a supporter of certain types of direct action, so long as they've been non-violent, as long as they've been adhered really to the ALF's code of principles, which as I understood it in the early 1980s was based on the direct rescue of animals from places of use, economic sabotage, and also that no action should cause harm to any animal, be that human or non-human. There was a shift really towards the mid-80s, I guess, which is coincided really with the time when I agreed to to work for the press office. But the shift really took place because the ALF and the BYV split. Up until that time, I have a strong feeling that most of the people involved in the ALF felt that they were part of a larger movement. And in fact, I remember a AGM or EGM for the BYV where I think Ronnie Lee and John Page stood up and talked about the ALF as the sharp end of a spear which punctured a hole in animal abuse, and all the rest of the movement, as it were, would follow through. And so the idea was that the ALF might go into a laboratory or a factory farm, rescue non-humans, but also expose what was going on, and the resulting press coverage or video footage could be used by the rest of the movement to educate people about animal use in general. After the split with the BYV, I feel that there was a change in the sense that some people within the ALF felt that they could go it alone. There's no need for them to have any adherence or any association alliance with the rest of the movement. And so I think there's a swing towards damage. But also, and I went along with this for a period, there was also a feeling that the ALF could become a mass movement. There was a strong feeling of growth and enthusiasm at the time. In fact, David Henshaw, in a book called Animal Warfare, reports that in England alone, about 6 ALF activities were going on every night. And so with that kind of level of activity, it was felt that something could substantially change with the use of direct action. Of course, as I said earlier, the capitalist state has responded. And so activities for which you would get a couple of years in jail at the most, you're now getting a decade. This is a completely new ball game. In that sense. So it seems to me that we have to cut our cloth to what we've got. And this is what Steve Best doesn't understand in terms of expecting a new generation of people who are willing to spend all this time. Now, okay, he thinks time is short. He thinks the things are urgent. He thinks a revolution is necessary. But, you know, come on, we've got to be realistic, especially as everyone agrees that a growth in the numbers of vegans, ethical vegans, would be a really, really good thing to happen at this time. It's not as though it's either do that or nothing. And in fact, that's one of the most distressing parts of the Best camp, if you like. The caricature of things now is a question of you support or you take part in violent direct action or you do nothing. There's no choice. We don't have the time for anything else. To return to sociology then, our problem, the main problem that we face as a movement, the main problem that vegans face within society is speciesism, the ideology of speciesism, the ideology in which generation after generation are born into, grow up into, they internalise the norms and values of that ideology. A war against those people doesn't make any sense whatsoever, apart from objections to violence. It just doesn't make sense in its own terms. How many people are we talking about going to fight an endless war against all these people? Plus the fact, it seems to me, that the Best camp is critiquing something that's only just begun, something that they themselves agree with, it's just that they think is useless. They say, well, if vegan education worked, there would be a reduction in the numbers of animals used. Well, it's far, far too early to say that kind of thing. It's only just begun. The abolitionist movement has only just begun. The notion that veganism is the baseline of a new movement is a couple of years old. That's all. It's far too early to dismiss it as a failed strategy and to say that we then therefore must turn to violence. It's just far too early. Okay, now, in a sense, I'd like to say that I apologise, really, in the sense that this is only the second podcast and we got into something very heavy, but this has been a big issue the last week or so, and I thought it would be best to address it now while it's still hot. And speaking of hot, it's now the spot, which is called Lookout. It's the boring old fart who wanted to be a DJ as a kid and was too late to act like John Peel, to put on a Liverpool accent just to get famous in the United States spot. Now, I know a lot of people appreciated the bells and whistles joke from last time, so thank you very much for that. So this week, you'll remember also that I finished the podcast with a short piece of music which started with bells. And so today I've got a longer piece of music which starts with whistling.